Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I'm here. I'm just trying to get the music straight. Good evening, everybody. Here it is once more and again. Time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you in a time like this. We all have to look within ourselves and decide to do what we know that God wants us to do. We are not exempt from the trials and the tribulations and of the world and the decisions that's being made in a world that we have no control of. But we have to do what God wants us to do. And we should use the word of God as our compass to carry us through these storms of life that's going to come. Because you see, the book of James said, when we fall into diverse temptations, it didn't say if we fall. You know, as Christians, we are not exempt. And the world lets us know that the good doesn't suffer for the bad, but they suffer along with the bad. So it's a pleasure for me to come to you tonight. And as you know, the title of our lesson is When Noah Stepped on the Ark, Sin Entered in with Him. And I want to let you know, when Noah got off the ark, sin followed him. We're coming from the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, the 18th through the 29th verse. I'm going to play a song, then we're going to go to the throne of grace, and after that, we'll come back and explore the word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week, and that God is still shining His grace fully upon you. So we're going to listen to this song, and I chose this song because with everything going on, we have to realize that God do understand. He understands everything you're feeling right now. He knows why you feel it. So I'm going to play this record, this song, and once it's over, I'm going to go come back, and we're going to explore the word of God together. Listen to the words of the song.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told me, oh,
one more day,
one more step, yeah,
one more step.
Oh, my child,
I'm preparing you
for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands.
Encouragement for those who are having mixed emotions about what's going on in our country. Someone pressed the button. You call, your number is 504-355. I open your mic at this time and you may speak. Hello? 504-355-6262. Did you want to speak or pray? You could do so at this time. Your phone was prompt to be answered. Maybe it was done in error. Did you want to speak? Well, if anyone would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button and bring us through to the throne of grace. If not, I'll go ahead on and pray. And I'm just making a suggestion. Whenever we have an opportunity to do something for God, we should allow the Spirit to lead us, because we don't know when the last time will be. And I'm not doing that to put you on the spot or make you feel any emotions. It's just the fact. It's the Word of God. So we're going to go ahead to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you one more time for allowing us to come together to explore your word, that we will equip ourselves and we will be able to articulate our faith to others, and we will realize even more that only what we do for Christ will last. And dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for every caller that came in and tuned in so we could explore the word of God together. I pray that the Holy Ghost don't let the word return void. And I pray that there's this encouragement for the Christians in a time like this in our nation, dear God. But I just want to say thank you. I just want to say I know that you are in control and you have everything, and everything will be in order. Because you are a good God. Lord, I thank you for your Son and your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, that's what the prayer that went forth to God. It's now time to explore the word, and more callers has come in. Again, I want you to know that the title of the lesson tonight is When Noah Stepped on the Ark, Sin Entered with Him. And when he stepped off the ark, sin followed him. We're coming from the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. We're going to look at the 9th chapter, verses 18 and 19. Well, as I said before, you guys, and all day pondering on what has happened, you know, we elected our president last night, and you know, from the beginning of all of this, there have been questions and people been wondering, and we have a lot of mixed emotions and all of these things, but, you know, the boat has went in, and we have a new president, and some people feel like it may not be the best, and some people feel that it is the best. You know, everybody had an equal vote. But there are some concerns, and we are feeling all kind of ways. You know, a lot of calls that came and wondering why. You know, some people are saying why God allowed it, and some people are saying, you know, they prayed and the prayers wasn't answered, and so on and so on. But I'm going to just give you some encouragement tonight through the word of God so that we could go on, because what it is, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But there's so much division, and I think we are so torn up because of so much division is being created in America, and this is where we live, and it's a trying time. But I want you to remember that this. I've always taught that nothing happens unless God orchestrated or allows it. Hold on to it. You know, anything can be set up for the bad, but God have a way to turn it around for the good. You know, God is in control, and he is God all by himself. He don't have to go in counsel with someone to decide what he want to do, because he's omnipotent. And that means he have all power right in his hand. You know, the word of God tells us that God is always working it out for our good if we love him and we trust him. You see, we live in a world, but we are not really of the world. And if you are a child of God, the promise that God made that he will take care of his children. He even stated that if an earthly father with a sin nature can take care of his children, how much more can God do for us? You know, there's a scripture that said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or they seized begging for bread. You know, just like the song said tonight, even when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. You might not understand what's going on, and you might not understand the mind of God, and you might think, why did he allow this to happen? But he said, if you can't hear my voice and see the direction that I'm going into, remember, just trust my plan. He said, because I'm God, and yes, I do understand. And in saying all of these scriptures and words of encouragement through the Bible for yourself, the only thing I can leave you with concerning the election, the president, and, you know, right now, before I got on the line, they're protesting in over 7 states in the world right now, you know, about the decision that was made. But I'm going to just tell each and every one of you to hold on to the confession of your faith, and I promise, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who is in control, no matter what rules and regulations are being made, God got you. Hold on to your faith, and God will see you through. I hope the word of God, that wasn't dying. I used the word of God and scriptures that God has given us when we go through trials and tribulations and adversities and things we think is not right and things we would like to change. Hold on. God is in control. So we're going to go into the lesson tonight. And we're in the book of Genesis. And the background is the book of Genesis is called the book of beginnings. Genesis, the book that is listed with the 5 books of the law written by Moses, and is also called the Pentateuch. the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis began with God creation. He created everything. Then he created man, and out of man he made woman. He placed them in a paradise with everything that they could ever need to live a righteous life, full and complete with many blessings. But you see, that was the first and second chapter. By the third chapter of Genesis, man sinned. The third chapter of Genesis, man sinned. And you see, everyone born after sin entered the world was born with a sin nature, which caused us to be separated from God. Hallelujah. And very soon after sin entered the world, in the same third chapter of Genesis, God promised that he would send a sacrifice in the form of a Messiah to save his people from the penalty of sin. And his name would be Jesus. Because, see, once sin entered, it caused death. But you see, Jesus, when he came and as he was spoke of, would take the sting out of death. You see, by the sixth chapter of Genesis, mankind's sinning had grown to an all-time high. And everybody was doing anything that seemed right in their own eyes. Everybody was doing whatever they wanted to do would please them, and all kind of sin was rampant. You see, and God decided to destroy the world because of all of the sin and everything in it. You see, there was only one man that found favor in the sight of God, and that man was Noah. Noah was married. I'm giving you some background on Noah now. Noah was married and had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Each of his sons had his own wife. You know, Noah's father was Lemuel, who lived 977 years. His grandfather was Methuselah, who lived 969 years, who is the oldest man to ever live until this date. You know how people used to tell you, girl, you old as Methuselah. But, you know, that was the oldest man. You know, that was the son that was Noah's grandfather. Let me back this up. Noah's father was Lemuel, who lived 977 years. His grandfather was Methuselah, who lived 969 years, who is the oldest man. And his grandfather, his great-grandfather was Enoch. I don't know if y'all remember who Enoch was. Enoch was the one that just walked with God. When you read a lot of things in the Bible and they speak about someone who never died, a taste of death, but walk with God, it was Enoch. And he was the great-grandfather of Noah. And he lived only 365 years because God took him. And he was no longer here. He never died. You see, right from the start, we can see that Noah was going to be special, as he is the only member in his genealogy whose name is explained. His father, Lemuel, stated that his son Noah, in the fifth chapter, the 29th verse, if you're writing, and you could go back and do your research, said, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our works and toils of our hand, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. This showed that it was a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. What God has for you is for you. Remember that. even in the times and the trials and the decisions being made in this world today that we think could affect our lives. God had a master plan for you before the foundation of the world, and nothing nobody can do could subtract from it, and nobody can add to it. So even though we're in the midst of a storm, it may feel that way to a lot of us, God has an intended purpose for you. He got you if you're his, if you accepted his son, became his child, a heir and a joint heir along with Jesus Christ. You see, Noah was the only follower of God remaining in his generation. After the flood, he became the second father of the human race because Adam was the first. See, that's a little background. And we know Noah's story. And to know Noah's story, we must first visit the 6, 7, and 8 chapter because we're in the 9th. You see, in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, which is called the wickedness of mankind, we see that every inclination of the thoughts of a man's heart was evil. That is why God purposed to bring the flood upon the earth to wipe out the sinners who refused to turn from his sin and turn to the true and living God. God spoke to Noah and commanded him to build an ark, which was a very large boat that would be refuge for him, his family, and many animals so that they could escape the flood. And God gave specific commands on how to build it. The Bible does not say how long Noah preached or if he preached a warning to the people to believe God's word. You know, a lot of people say Noah preached to the people, and they even say 120 years. They have that reference in saying that because that's how long man's lifespan had been reduced to. But the Bible doesn't say that Noah preached 100 years or he preached 120 years, but that's what people say, and until you study, sometimes you don't know it, and if you could find it in the Bible, bring it back to Bible study, and we'll visit it. But if they don't say how long Noah preached, or if he preached a warning to the people to believe the word, but it states that he was a preacher, and if they say he was a preacher, we could assume that he was preaching something. You see, the Bible doesn't say how long it took to build an ark. And yet people sometimes say that. We don't know how long it took the ark, but we believe by faith that it was built. Yet no one paid attention to Noah. And when I say pay attention, they saw him building a boat, and he probably told them why he was building it. But no one paid attention. They only criticized. If Noah was telling them about the flood, no one just believed it. I believe that part of the reason was that it had never rained on the face of the earth, so they couldn't comprehend rain. But if you could see it, you don't need faith. Hallelujah. You see, Noah, if there had never rained on the earth, Noah hadn't seen it either, but God told him and he believed it. But so many times, because people can't see it, they can't believe it. And if you got to see it to believe it, then you're not working in faith. You see, the Bible lets us know that the lifespan of man was reduced to 120 years. And for those who want to research this, it's in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 3rd verse, and it says, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. You know, when you see this, he said, because he also is flesh. One thing you need to know, and the topic is talking about sin. Sin dwells in the flesh. We have flesh on our body and we have a spirit within us. But sin dwells in the flesh. And God said, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. So before the flood, they lived, well, the oldest man was 969. After the flood, the lifespan was reduced to 120 years. This happens because of man's sinful nature. And Genesis 6:6 says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's what sin does, y'all. And it don't only grieve God. You know, if you have a sinful child and a child doing things that it shouldn't be doing, or your sister, your brother, or whatever, your neighbor, and you look at it and you could shake your head just like it grieved you, how much more you think it grieved God who created us? You see, in chapter 7, Noah entered the ark. A day came when the ark was ready. You see, the hour for God to judge the evil world had arrived. God had been patient with sinners for a long time, but now his patience has ran out. I just want to let y'all know, you know, plenty of things we do or plenty of things we don't do. You know, it's always said, you know, somebody that has a good heart, you know, they might not go to hell for what they do, but they'll go to hell for what they didn't do, because even having a good heart and not accepting Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. But I'm saying like this, with God being patient with us, some of the things, you know, is not because what we're doing, but God is having patience with us also for the things we should be doing that we're not doing. You see, plenty of times we could look at someone and say, oh, they're sinful. But God say to know to do something and don't do it is a sin as well. So that's telling us we got to get in our right place and get in our right position to be able to receive all that God has for us. Because plenty of us, even though we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we sin less, not that we are sinless, but we are learning and striving to sin a little less. But there are things that's happening around us, and we know things, and we see needs, and yet we overlook them. You won't be held accountable because you're doing what you could do, but you're going to be handled for what you could have did and you're not doing. Hallelujah. The Lord told Noah to enter the ark with his family and take with him 7 males. See, and everybody always say 2. But it wasn't just 2. He said, take 7 males and 7 females of every kind of clean animal. What that was saying, he said, take 7 animals, clean animals. You know, they were clean animals and they wasn't animals that was not clean. You know, the animals that was prepared and perfect and it was fit for sacrifice. He told them, take 7 of them, male and female. And 2 of each, unclean, male and female. He said, a fowl of the air by 7, male and female. And look what he said, to keep seeds alive. You know how birds fly around and drop seeds? Come on, y'all, come on. Look at God and his purpose and how magnificent he is. He said, the birds. Take by 7, male and female, to keep seeds alive upon the face of the earth. Here we see that God has a purpose for everything he created, that he get the glory and he works it out for your good. And then he told him, take all creeping things, 2 by 2. You see, he is an awesome God. That's all you could say. He's always working it out in the midst of all storms. You know, some people always say, you know, how did Noah get all those animals, find them, and how could he get all of the creeping things in the earth, the little ants and all of this? How could he do this? You know what the Bibles tell us? Noah didn't have to get the animals. God commanded him to build a boat the ark. He didn't tell him that he had to get the animals. So when Noah got ready and when the ark got ready and God was about to shed it up, God sent the animals to him. See, God don't put no impossible tasks in your hands. And whatever God asks you to do, he always provides the provisions. You got to believe it, y'all. He sent the animals to him. This wasn't a natural thing. So open up your supernatural eyes. And then you could believe how God brought them to him. You see, Noah and his family and the animals entered the ark as God had ordered. But watch this. Sin entered as well. And the scripture says, then the Lord shut them in. God who had opened the door of salvation for the children of Adam, was also the one that closed it. Hallelujah. 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 You see, the day of God's mercy was gone. The day of his fearsome wrath had arrived. Then the rains came for 40 days and 40 nights, and the rain prevailed upon the earth 150 days. All the flesh on the earth died by drowning. Only one saved were those on the boat, but the flood waters did not drown sin. So sin entered the ark as well. You see, in the 8th chapter, God remembered Noah, and he dried up the waters. Before I go to that, let me just tell you this, because I researched and researched. You know, when they say the animals two by two and the birds and seven animals sacrifice and the creeping things on the earth, it didn't say anything about the fish. But if you read the Bible and you read it correctly, it says, everything on the face of the earth, everything upon the dry land. The fish was not on dry land. So I want to take, you know, throw that in for you, because you would say with the fish wasn't on the land. In the 8th chapter, God remembered Noah and dried up the waters. The ark rested on a rack, a mountain in a rack. And let me just tell you this. The mountain in Iraq, which is now modern-day Turkey. So you could say that the ark rested in Turkey. And I'm saying Turkey so you could be familiar with the place. You see, Noah being commanded goes out of the ark, and he's getting ready to step out, and all the animals going to step out with him. And he's, you know, telling them how he want them to go, you know, and he's getting everything ready because the grounds are dried and the flood has receded, and Noah is being commanded to go out of the ark. And as Noah and all of the animals that was on the ark went out of the ark, sin followed him. Hallelujah. You see, the first thing when Noah got off the ark, he made a sacrifice, because remember, he had them seven clean animals, pairs of seven clean animals, because he wanted to give God thanks. You see, when God do something for us, we should immediately give him praise, honor, and glory, and thank him for what he did. And that's the problem with some people. God is constantly doing and operating and giving you blessing after blessing, and yet you have the worst sin in the world, which is the sin of ingratitude. You're never thankful for what he's done, which makes you not even be able to, after a while, recognize your blessings. and you wonder why God is not visiting you. You know, some people say you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see the goodness of God because you don't even realize how good he is to you. But when Noah got off the ark, he made a sacrifice. And at that time, and God smelt the sacrifice that Noah had sacrificed unto him, and aroma went in his nose. Y'all read the chapters, you'll see it. And God promised to curse the earth no more by water. He gave a covenant of that. And the covenant says in the 21st verse, in the 8th chapter, he said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. That's a promise, a covenant. And look what he said, and this is my salvation this day, y'all. In 22 say, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So just like, you know, plenty of people is upset about the decision made in an election, but I know what I said, and it took me a while because, you know, I wanted things to be different. I wanted the election to go different, and, you know, you start feeling just like sin had grieved God's heart. Some of this has grieved your heart. But, you know, I applied the word of God to all of my thoughts, one after another. And I got all right because what it is, and God is in control. This scripture let me know that God is still on his throne. Because he say, long as these happen, the seasons, the hot and cold and the night and day, it ain't going to never cease until it's over. So I know God is still operating in the midst. And I know God still has my back. And I know that God is going to work it out together for the good. And I know many things that Satan set up for the bad, God can turn it around and will turn it around for the good. I know God have never forsake me or left me. If you believe that, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right in the middle of everything that's going on, and he sees it, and he understands. They say, let God fix it for you because he really know what to do. Whenever you pray, let him have his way. And he will fix it for you. In good times and bad times and unbelievable times, he will fix it for you. Tonight, again, I say, hold on to the confession of your faith, and God will see you through all of this because he's in control. And when God gave the covenant that he would never destroy the earth again with water, he said the next time it would be fire. And that's when the final judgment on the world is, because in the book of Revelation it teaches us that everything in this world going to be burnt up with fervent heat, and it's going to all pass away. That's the fire that God said that will be the next time, because he won't do it by water. And people, you know, think, I don't know what they think, but the fire spoken in Revelation that the world going to be burned with fervent heat, and everything that is in it will pass away. You see, tonight we are in the 9th chapter. That's what happened to come up to where we are now. Tonight we are in the 9th chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to only stick with the 18th through the 29th verse. And it reads, the 18th verse said, the son of Noah that went forth of the ark was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole world overspread, meaning the whole world was repopulated. And the 20th verse said, and Noah began to be a husbandman. That's like a farmer. a man of the soil, man who uses hand for planting and farming and doing things of the earth. And Noah became a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. A vineyard is usually with wine, with grapes. And he planted a vineyard. What happened? You see, Noah planted the vineyard, and he stumbled upon, and he realized, and all of a sudden he was able to make wine. And we know that this wasn't grape juice. You know, a lot of people want to say that the wine that Jesus made was fermented grapefruit. No, they say, the Bible say that Jesus turned the water into wine. And here we see that Moses made wine. When Noah stepped off the ark, remember, sin followed. You may have thought that when God destroyed the world, all of the sinful people on the face of the earth, all the animals, the bird, and all creeping things drowned, you would think that sin would have drowned as well. But it didn't. Because when Noah stepped off the ark, sin followed. When Noah and his family stepped off the ark, you can imagine what they saw. The world as they knew it was destroyed totally. The devastation and barrenness they would have probably looked at. They probably saw and smelt death all around. And remember, everywhere there was people, birds, animals, and creeping things, it was all destroyed. The trees, the flowers, you know, the bees, you know, everything. Can you imagine stepping off the ark and the only ones that's left is you, your three sons, their wives, and your wife? Devastation. And they knew that it was the hand of God did it, but they also knew how he saved them, how he allowed his grace and mercy to, and his favor to be upon them, and they were alive. You know, the world as they knew it was totally destroyed. You would believe that all that had happened to Noah and his son, they would be trying to be the best that they could be and believe that they didn't want to sin anymore. They had saw the devastation of sin. They saw where sin leads you and what sin produced to you. You know, sin always promised more than it can deliver. So knowing these facts and seeing them, supernatural miracles that God had just performed, you would think that this would have blew their mind and they would want it to become the intended purpose that God had in saving them. Because you see, now God through them was giving the world another chance. Hallelujah. You see, if we take an illustration of our time, like Katrina. Katrina, in our lifetime, was something that had never happened before. And if you're listening to my voice, God saved us. How many people do you know turn to God after seeing what they saw? And what we saw with Katrina has no comparison. Because those people were living, even if it was in tents, and they had land and they had possessions, but it was all wiped away. And what we saw with Katrina seemed like the most devastating things we could experience, but imagine how it was for them. You see, what happened was not natural. I want to keep reminding you this. But it was supernatural. It seemed that no matter what God does in the lives of his people, sin, which is evil, evilness in their heart, sometime take control. Because the Bible lets us know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And if we read the 21st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th verse, it reads as follows. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the son of Canaan. Now, this is strange while he lists in Canaan, which is Ham's son, which is Noah's grandson. But we'll get to that. But Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Shepherd and Jephthah took a garment and laid it upon his brother's shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their face were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. And he said, "Curse be to Canaan." Y'all got this? "Curse be to Canaan." Now, he didn't directly curse Ham. This is what he said. "Curse be to Canaan." And his curse was, the rest of the verse say, "A servant of servants," and that's the lowest class of a servant, "shall he be unto his brothers." Shall a servant of servants shall he be unto his son, because what his son has done to him. And he said, "Bless up the Lord God of Shem." And Canaan shall be his servant. And the 27th verse say, "God shall enlarge Jephthah, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now that's the curse on Canaan. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Now, remember, I think when the flood started, because if y'all read them verses, you'll see he was 600. So 350 more years, he lived to be 950. And all of the days of Noah was 950. And then he died. You see, Noah got drunk, and Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers. It may have been accidentally or involuntarily that Ham happened to walk upon his father, and that wouldn't be a crime or a sin. But the problem came because it pleased him with what he saw. And he told his brothers in a scornful manner. You know, it almost pleased him to see his dad, because, you know, being naked, uncovered, wasn't supposed to be seen by others. And if someone see you, it was shameful. And he knew his father was drunk, and he was probably ribbing his father, and he was glad to see his father in a fallen state. And that's what was the problem. The brothers took the garments and walked backwards and not look upon their father's nakedness. Neither did they ridicule him for his shortcomings. You see, the way they did it was an example of love, an example of charity, you know, an example of forgiveness. But Ham, he took it and he ran with it in the most negative way. You see, this is in reference to another man's sin and shame. You see, here God wants us to know how to look at the shortcomings and failures of others. Do we criticize? Do we try to make more of it? Do we talk about it? Do we bring it all out to bring shame upon them? You got to watch what you do with what you see. You see, all of this happened to Cain for what he seen, and it caused curse on his descendants. You see, Noah cursed Canaan, Ham's grandson. And he said he would be served as a servant. Like I told you, that was the meanest thing that they could do. You see, and I'm, you know, you keep seeing Canaan. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it before I close. You see, Canaan was the Canaanites. And last week when we had the lesson about Joshua going and conquer the promised land, I told you that everyone that lived in all of the promised land territories was Canaanites. So tonight you could connect the dots. When Joshua went out to conquer the land, and God told him many times, kill everybody there, there was the Canaanites. And that was Ham's grandson. Yes, it was. And all that was based on a curse that was placed on them. Canaan was cursed because of his father's sin against Noah. It's so amazing that those by birth were equal, and now they will become your Lord. You see, the Canaanites are mentioned over 150 times in the Bible. They were wicked, idolatrous people. They dealt with homosexuality, and they were just terrible. You know, from Noah's three sons, all races and nations were formed. Remember, they was the only ones left after the flood. But you see, God blessed Shem and Japheth. You see, Shem populated Asia, and the Israelites came from Shem, and the Messiah also came from the line of Shem. And you see, Japheth's line produced the Persians, the Romans. You know, I'm just giving you a little insight. And he shared in the blessings of Shem, which they may have been the Israelites. The Israelites was from Shem, and the Gentiles was from Japheth, and Ham populated Africa, and he produced the Canaanites, the Babylonians, the Cushites, and look at this, the Egyptians. We have to watch what we're doing, because we see tonight that God didn't specifically curse Ham, but he cursed Canaan. You have to watch the things that you do, because it may fall on your next generation. And we have to be careful when we tell a story, because, you know, so many people believe that the black people was descendant because of the Africa continent that Ham had repopulated, and the curse of, not Ham, but Canaan populated, yeah, it was Ham. The population of Africa came from Ham, and his grandson Canaan was there. And, you know, Africa's a coast, and Africa means, you know, people of dark skin are burnt, and they figure that's where black people come from. And they say black people are cursed. And you see, they also, history has proven that through the Canaanites becoming a slave, because Noah cursed them in these verses, that they would be servants of servants unto, you know, Shem and Japheth, that's how people have always justified slavery, because the Bible said that they became slaves. But I want you to let you know that that is not so. And you have to remember, Jesus died for all, and the curses died on the cross. You know, you might say, why did God curse them? But you see, you got to remember, God knows everything, and God knew what kind of people they was going to grow up to be. So he, you know, Noah cursed them, but guess what? God allowed it. Hallelujah. But I hope you see with the lesson that sin followed on the ark. You see, the reason sin had to follow on the ark, because Noah, his wife, and his three sons was wrapped up in flesh, and sin dwells in the flesh. And if sin would have died with the flood, there would have been no need for Jesus. But even a flood that took over the whole world couldn't conquer sin. God knew in the third chapter of Genesis, after man fell and he made a promise of a Messiah to come, that the only way to save mankind was by a man. But the man had to be like the clean animals. Come on. The man had to be like the clean animals, fit for sacrifice. And a man of God would come and give up himself for to save mankind, that would take away the sins of the world. So sin couldn't drown in the flood. But God had a way for us to escape the penalties of sin through his son, Jesus Christ. And we know that God is merciful, because when he destroyed the earth, he allowed he kept something in place, a part of his master plan that would be able to start it all over. And that man was Noah. Sin is ever so present. We have to remember, as I close, God say we take on the image of his son and his desires that we become perfect. A lot of people get confused with that perfect, but he don't mean that you could be perfect as far as sinless. He say if you have a heart and commitment and you do the best you can and you repent when you do something wrong, he say you would become a person that sins less. Sin is here now, even after Jesus died, bled, and suffered on the cross. But with Jesus, God so gave us his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sin is going to be on earth, and we see that the flood didn't drown it. And it's going to be here until Jesus come back again. For those that are in the grave shall rise first, and those who allow it will be taken up with the twinkling in the sky. And as we go up, Jesus will be taken off the corruptible, which is the flesh, and given us incorruptible. And it will be total spirit. So tonight I want to let you know, be the best that you can. Do the most that you can. Use the word of God to become your compass in times of adversities, trials, and tribulation. In every situation, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Whenever things are going on like you don't like, use the word of God and see what God says about the subject. But you could never do it if you don't study to show thyself approved. And then when you pray, let God have his way, not your will, but his will. See, we need the word in times like these, because only what you do for Christ is going to last. And only what God is telling you in your word that's going to allow you to hold on to your joy. Remember, God is in control. And nothing happens unless he orchestrates or allow it. And sometimes God gives the people what they want. Remember King Saul in the Bible. And you got to watch what you pray for, because you just might get it. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that someone gives some comment or can talk about something right now. If not, it's the 9:30 hour. Anybody would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button on your phone at this time. The world is in a turmoil right now, baby. Y'all, they got protests going all around. You know, a message of division was preached and teached. And, well, it wasn't, yeah, it was preached, because preaching is keep saying something. But it was preached, and it kept being said. And when you do something like that, that's what you get. It's just formulated. It's embedded. And you know, people, words are hurtful. And there's protests going all around. But we have to be prayerful, y'all. We have to stay in prayer. Because God is going to see us through, and you got to know it. I have a caller. Your number is 985-774. Your mic is open, and you can speak at this time, Sister Diane.
Hi, Sister Diane. Glad to be back. I've been on the North Shore a lot with my husband, going to a Bible study with him, which I'm glad that I have a husband who's leading me at this point. This is wonderful in my life, but I'm glad to be back with you, because I believe you are filled with the Holy Ghost. I really do. Of course, my life feels like a hurricane with my 2 kids, my grandson, and my marriage, and it really feels like a hurricane. It really does. And at that time, I got to just sit down and stay still, and stay in the Word and pray. I just don't know what else to tell somebody, that, you know, when you're going through things like this, is just stay still and pray. And I'm not saying pray for what I think I want for my kids in my life. Pray for what God wants. Pray for what God wants, because he knows everything. I know nothing, you know, so that's what I'm saying. And you're just so Holy Ghost inspired. I just so much enjoy your Bible studies. I really do. And I'm just so blessed to have you in my life. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And Sister Diane McBride, I feel the same way about you. And you already have the answer. You sit still, you pray, and you want God to have his way. That's all he asks us to do. We make things so complicated. You know what I'm saying? God say, I got this. He said in the book of John, take this yoke upon you. He said, because my way is easy and my burdens are light. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. He said, I provide everything you need to live a righteous life. I'm going to work it out together for your good. I'm going to allow you to be the head and not the tail. See, God is telling you all that he's going to do, because he know in and of ourselves we cannot do it. And we are walking, trying to be as sinless as we can, because we can never totally be sinless or perfect, because we have flesh on our bodies. And I thank you for calling back, and it's always, you know, it's always a delight. It's always delightful for me to hear your voice. I love you, baby,
love you.
And I hope you come back again, and I'll be calling you on the phone, because, you know, we could talk all the time.
Yes.
Thank you, sister.
That's
Diane McBride. Would anyone else like to comment or say anything? If not, we're going to go ahead and close. Okay, caller, your number is 504-213-93. Your line is open. You may speak. 504-213-93.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I just wanted to say that I thoroughly enjoyed the lesson. And at my church right now, we're studying the book of Genesis. And it's so funny, because the lesson that you went through tonight was the lesson that we had this evening earlier. So, you know, that gave confirmation for some things. But I've been telling people not to worry or fret because we as people of God have hope, and we know how the what the end of the story is going to be, and the end is victory. And I told my children this morning that I look at this as such a wonderful opportunity, even though it's a dark time for our nation, that we have an opportunity to spread love, unconditional love, not to treat people how they may treat us or oppress us, but to share the love of Christ, to encourage, to uplift, to motivate. And this is also a great opportunity to lead people to Christ or to tell them about the Messiah in case they don't know. So, you know, we're living in some uncertain times, but we believe that God is still on the throne. Prayer changes things, and we know in whom we believe, and our trust rests in God. So I'm just excited about this time, and we have to remember that the heart of the king is in the hands of our God, and God decides which way a man is going to go. Now, it seems really bad, but we don't know what God is doing in the midst of this. And, you know, just like you mentioned before, that the people of God rejected God many times in the Bible, and they wanted a flesh and blood man over them to be king. And we have to be mindful that we never put anybody above our God, because the God we serve is a jealous God, and he will bring us to our knees and bring us back to himself. So I just want to encourage everybody, and I thank you for the lesson. I thank you for taking your time to study, to show yourself approved so you can share the word of God and the love of Christ with everyone.
Is this Sister Antoinette?
No, my name is Lucia.
Oh, I know who you are. You sound like my cousin. I think your last name Parker.
Right. That's correct.
Okay, I know who you are now. I'm so glad you joined in with us tonight, and thank you so much for them comments, because you put the icing on a cake. And everybody, you know, I tell y'all all the time, this is not my Bible study, it's all of our Bible study. And we should say things, because I could say it one way, she said it another way, and you might really get it. And you don't know when the last opportunity you'll have to speak.
That's right.
Concerning the word of God, or say something about God, and everything you say was so true. Because God, you know, and we have to remember, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. And we should be living with kingdom. And when you were speaking, you pressed something on my heart. Because I say it, all of that election, it was a lot of talking, fighting, and bickering going on. You didn't hear anything about the word of God, a God as the creator. So watch this.
That's right.
If you never heard none of that, it's apparent that they're not trusting God. They're not asking to be led by God. And even if they want to say God, they don't want to say it because they don't want to offend some people. So they're not so faithful with God. So if they're not saying anything about God, you could assume that God is not the ruler. I ain't going to say in their life, because I'm not afforded the privilege to see someone on. But God is not the ruler of their life. So if someone is not being ruled by God, what you see is how they be.
Yeah.
You know, you can't expect too much more from them. You want to, want to expect more from them. But just think about it. If God is not ruling people, then people act like people not ruled by God.
That's right.
And that's why we pray for them. But I want to thank you so much, Sister Parker, for coming on tonight. And I pray that you join us if God allows us to keep going forward. And thank you so much for them words of encouragement. And thank you for the words of wisdom that the Holy Ghost led for you to share with the people. And everybody is welcome to speak. And thank you so much.
Amen, and thank you.
All right. I have another caller that's impressed their button. The number is 504-534-55. I want to let you know that your mic is open.
Yes, ma'am. I've been blessed.
I jotted some things down. In Genesis 5:32, Noah was 500 years old when he had them three sons. He was 500 years old when God told him to build that ark. In chapter 6, when God said it, replenish him that he made man, he cut man's years down to 120 years. But I liked it when it said Noah found grace, Noah was just and perfect, and Noah walked with God. It's not the, it's the spirit man that's perfect in us. And God is just worthy to be praised. No matter what we go through, he's worthy. So whatever this land is about to go through, God is just, and he's faithful. And all we got to do is be faithful and walk with God.
Thank you, Miss Elyria Mackey, calling all the way from Boothdale, Louisiana. For those who don't know, Elyria is the one that brings us all of those beautiful songs when she sings. And it's late, and I'm going to see if I have, hold on, Elyria. I don't have any other callers that's pressing, and I don't want to hold you guys on the phone, and I see nobody has hung up, so that's really a blessing. So, Elyria, if you don't mind, could you please lead us out in prayer?
Yes. God, we thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you for, with all that getting your words, to get understanding, oh God, that we will trust in you soul out, that we will put our whole heart, soul, and mind in you, oh God. You said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. God, we just ask and trust in that you would make us new in you, O God, that we would let our light so shine that men can see the good works that you have done in us, O God, that they can come crying, what must I do to be saved? God, we bless your name. We glorify your name. We thank you for Sister Diane. We thank you for the word on Noah, that we would be encouraged, that we would walk with God as Noah walked with God, and we give you honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. And one of the things, when I say it, and y'all could always ask questions, that the Bible didn't say how long Noah preached, or if he preached to the people. When the Bible doesn't say it, you don't do it, and everybody could come up with an assumption, and that's why I said other scriptures, and Peter did say that he was a preacher. But this is the point.
Yeah.
The reason I researched that so long was because when God told Noah to build the ark, he told Noah who would go on the ark. So the time from him building the ark till the ark got ready, God had already ordained and predestined and decided who would be in it, because he knew even if Noah did or would preach to the people, they wasn't going to repent. We got to remember he's an all-knowing God.
That's right.
And one
of the
reasons he didn't directly curse Ham, because in the chapter, in the beginning, they say he blessed, God blessed Ham.
Mm-hmm.
And, Noah's three sons. But then he cursed Canaan. But that's just little tidbits, and it's never enough time. And I had a little more things I was going to say, and I didn't want to leave with that, because I try to say why I say it and what the Bible didn't say. You know, a lot of people say they built the ark for 120 years and he preached to the people and no one would listen. The Bible doesn't say that.
No.
The 120 was in reference to the shortening of man time.
Yes. You hear me?
Yeah, we could, everybody hear you.
It only says that in that sixth chapter, Noah was 500 years old when God spoke to him, and that he was 600 years old when the flood came.
Right, so you knew it was 100 years. Maybe he built
it.
And you don't know.
That's
you could go with the 100 years of billing, but it don't say he preached for 100, and most people, and if you really do some research and you see all of the commentaries, some going to say 75 because of this and this and this. That's why the Bible say in 2 Timothy 2:15, you must study to show yourself approved.
That's
our lesson for the night, because I don't want y'all to say, Sister Diane, keep you on long. But I want y'all to know when I do the program, I have a two-hour slot. I always try to close the program in 1 hour, not to keep your around salon, and I also told you guys that I could come on at an earlier time if it's getting too late for y'all. So when y'all, you know, think about it, and if y'all want to change and y'all want to do anything, I'm just letting y'all know. But God loves you, and so do I. And if it's God's will, we'll be back again on next week with words of wisdom, plain and simple. Good night. God loves you, and so do I.